Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week, and I really think we're very lucky, is newly announced Republican candidate for governor of New York in 2018. I'm speaking now of New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb, a Republican who represents New York's 131st district, including all of Ontario and parts of Seneca County. Brian, congratulations on entering the race. It's always great when we have real good candidates.
Well, thanks very much, Alan. Great to be here.
So here's the problem. Can you beat the governor?
I believe so, absolutely.
But first you have to win a primary in the Republican side, right?
That's correct. I'm the only announced candidate right now, and the other folks that have expressed an interest, we have to wait to see what they're going to do in the next probably couple weeks.
But of course, to do this, you have to give up your highly prized seat in the New York State Assembly, where the Assembly Republicans are an endangered species. Let's be fair about this. And, you know, a lot of other people have gone on to great things as you are, like John Faso. I remember when he was the majority leader. Now he's a congressman fighting for his life in the 19th congressional district. So are you going to miss your old colleagues and all the schmoozing around and kidding around?
Well, certainly, first and foremost, I have to become the nominee. And then once I'm the nominee, then I won't run for reelection, obviously, for the state assembly. And
But if you aren't the nominee, will you run again?
I actually haven't even thought about it, because right now the focus is coming up on the new legislative year. Is the number one priority.
Right.
And then number two is getting the Republican nomination for governor.
Right.
And if that all comes together, then other steps follow after that. So it's kind of like one day at a time.
I've just written a column about how difficult the Republicans are going to have it. After all, Donald Trump is detested in New York State with a capital D. And, you know, everybody, they're going to tie Andrew Cuomo, if you were running against him, and I'm assuming he's going to be the candidate, but you never know. He's going to try to tie anybody to Donald Trump. So how do you get over that one?
Well, first and foremost, my name is spelled K-O-L-B, not T-R-U-M-P. And I think the average New Yorker understands face-to-face that I'm not Donald Trump. I've had my own public record, voting record, my interactions in the state legislature, my private sector experiences, all are separate. You know, Donald Trump is president of the United States, and that has nothing to do with me. And for those policies that he promotes that are not good for New York State, I would oppose it.
So give us one example of such a policy.
Well, I think the current tax reform bill, I think the limiting the state and local tax deductions to $10,000 a year, I wouldn't have done it that way. I think it should be higher if they're going to have one at all. Understanding the high tax nature of New York to start with. And the other possibility would maybe to phase it in over 5 years rather than just an abrupt change, because that will definitely put a kink in the armor in New York State to start with. And I think first and foremost, all the other tax cuts that are going through, I totally support. I think they're great ideas. Increasing the child care credit, great idea. Eliminating the mandated you have to buy insurance for Obamacare has been taken out. All of those things I'm in favor of. But that's not unusual for any piece of legislation, that there's going to be things that you like, and then there are going to be things that you don't like. And we have the same thing in Albany. And that's all you have to do is just come out and explain what you like, what you don't like, and what you would do differently if you had the ability to do that.
But Leader Kolb, you know, in all due honesty, I mean, you know, you're a friend of mine. We've been friends for years and all the rest, and I have great admiration for you. But, you know, we just had some by-elections last year, and it didn't go well for the Republicans. So will it have changed by the time you run?
Well, I think one of the things I've learned in my time in public office is that all politics are local. And certainly, whether you look at New York State, you know, the county exec race in Nassau County, the county exec race in Westchester County, this is about local voters at a particular time and place. And same thing with villages, towns, other states. Everything is about the candidates and the local issues at that particular point in time. I don't think it's a slam dunk against the Republican Party or Republican candidates. because we've had good ones. So sometimes it's just in the environment. Sometimes people are just saying, I'm going to go the other way for whatever reason. So I think 2018 is a whole separate slate, especially when we start talking the specifics about, you know, who I am, what I stand for versus what they know about Andrew Cuomo, assuming he's the candidate.
Well, let's assume it is you versus Cuomo. What do you got going for you?
Well, first of all, I'm good looking, charming.
There's no question about that.
Sense of humor.
Yeah.
Well, from a pure experience perspective, is I have a very good balance of private sector experience and public sector at the local government level, school board, town supervisor, county legislator, state legislator, state legislative leader. So from the public sector, I think I've got that pretty well covered. From the private sector, I've worked for startups, being my own startup with my partners. That's still in business today.
Where was the company?
The company's name was North American Filter Corporation, and it's located in Newark in Wayne County in New York State. Mm-hmm. And it was brand new startup, took the risk, borrowed money to fund the initial startup, and we eventually sold the company. Probably the only thing we should have done is sold it for more money than we did.
And what did it do?
Oh, I'm sorry. We manufactured air, gas, and industrial liquid filters, which are used in industry and commercial applications, a whole host of applications, not just domestically, but internationally as well.
How'd you learn to do that?
My initial exposure to the business was way back when I started with a small company by the name of Consular Corporation in Honeyway Falls, New York. I actually started off as an inside sales trainee, if you will, to start to learn the business. And obviously, I learned the business pretty well because that really advanced my career. I ended up being a plant manager, and then I got promoted over the years. And actually, at the ripe old age of 25,
wow,
I was running a $2 million manufacturing facility,
wow,
in St. Petersburg, Florida, and did, I think, a great job.
Nicer down there in the winter.
It sure was. But I got to tell you, I did miss the four seasons of New York.
Did you?
I did.
Wow. Okay, so I guess Leader Brian Kolb, the question is, we have a governor. He's got probably at least $27 million in campaign money in the bank. As I mentioned, you've got the Trump thing going, in mm-hmm. which there are many political analysts other than me who really think that it's going to be a rough year on Republicans. Mm-hmm. You got a guy who has a lot of goodies to give out to people and does all the time in terms of, you know, contracts and things of that kind.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you fight against that? And by the way, one other thing, and that is you got a lot more Democrats in New York State than you do Republicans.
We sure do. But I think one of the things that starts at the top is that people generally would like the person that they're voting for as a starting point. And I think most people do not like Andrew Cuomo as a person. They deal with him because he's governor. He is traveling all across the state, especially the last couple of years, handing out taxpayer money.
And he's got a beautiful new helicopter.
Yes, and paid for by the taxpayers. And certainly he's using taxpayer dollars for self-promotion. And this is not about really solving problems.
But all politicians do that, don't they?
Well, I don't think they should, to be honest with you. I think it's the taxpayer dollars, and I would guard that like it's my own money, and I have been since I've been in the state legislature. And my feeling is, okay, what's the net return on investment in jobs that we're actually seeing? And they have been, the Cuomo administration doesn't want to be transparent. They don't want to say, this is what we paid, this is what we're getting, and if it didn't work, all right, now we're going to stop it and move in another direction. They're not transparent. Everyone knows that. And that's something that changes on day one with me, if I'm governor, is every economic development project is going to be transparent. There's going to be a financial analysis to it. And then if it's not working or if the company is not living in its expectations or what their promises were, then we're going to retract the taxpayer dollar that's helped them get there.
Do you, Brian Kolb, do you think there's been any corruption, I mean that in a formal sense, in the way this has been done?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It's transactional. People are sending campaign contributions to Andrew Cuomo because of what is being handed out from the public taxpayer perspective in Albany. And that's why his closest associates are going on trial in January. Joe Prococo, Todd Howe, Elaine Kelly-Arros.
At least one of whom, Todd Howe, has already pled guilty.
Correct. And these are people that Andrew Cuomo knew personally. And in fact, Joe Prococo was his closest aide, if not, almost
a brother.
Another brother. And so all of these things are will come to light. You've got the current FBI investigations of the Cuomo administration, their hiring practices, actually putting political operatives being paid by state agencies, but they're really working on his political ambitions.
Well, don't you do that, too. Let's be fair, Brian. I remember when I worked for Senator Orenstein, he had a 500-count indictment, something like that, against them. And then all the other leaders came forward and said, no, we use our employees to do politics also.
No, I can tell you exactly what it is. And under my watch and also under the assembly rules, you cannot be working on politics and being paid on state government time.
Yeah, but then they take these phony vacation days.
Well, no, you've got they do volunteer work, and I'm trying to be fair to everybody. And I can tell you that every one of the positions that we have in our conference, the Assembly Republican Conference, they've got a real job that they show up to and perform for the state of New York every single day. Do those same people volunteer to help our members in campaigns and all that? They certainly do, but they're not being paid by the taxpayer to do it.
Okay, and so let's stay with that for a moment and talk about ethics. There are a lot of people who think that the New York State Legislature is a stinking mess, and they don't like it. They think everybody's a crook. Have you made any? I know that you've had some ideas about reform, but have you made any progress?
Well, it's not about me making progress. It's about the institution not making progress. I've advocated, and I will, day one as well, being governor, is seek out term limits for all legislators and seek out term limits for all the statewide officials. I think that as a governor, whoever it is, or any of the other statewide electeds, two terms is plenty, 2 4-year terms. Let someone else have an opportunity. That way you don't embed power and embed corruption. And I think that's the quickest way to root out corruption is root out the ability to hold on to power and divvy out taxpayer dollars or committee assignments or member items or whatever you want to call it. You've got to get at the root cause, which is too much power is in too few hands. And the way to get at that is term limits for everybody.
When Speaker Sheldon Silver was indicted, tried, and convicted, although that is now on appeal, which might be successful, were you surprised?
Was I surprised? After it was explained it was a technicality?
Yeah.
But even the courts were saying, well, we see enough evidence that he was guilty, but based on these different interpretations of legal mumbo-jumbo to the average person, now they have to turn around and retry him. But there's no doubt about it that he used his office to enrich his law firm and to enrich himself personally, using his position as Speaker of the State Assembly. And he accumulated that power over the years and certainly held his members in check based on what things that they were looking for. And that's why you got to break that power structure for everybody, no matter who it is. And it's not, you know, there are some good people that serve, but you really have to try to, we're really forgetting that the $150 billion plus is taxpayer money. It's not the elected officials or the politicians' money, and we should be spending it in the best way possible.
So how did we get into this mess in New York State where our budget is, even before the Trump tax cuts, so-called tax cuts have come into play, where people can't make major deductions on their state and local money, taxes. But how do we get into this mess where we're so far behind the eight ball? You know, these are supposed to be good times. Why is the budget so in such a dark place?
Well, first and foremost, no one wants to say no. And no means that doesn't necessarily mean cut, slash, and burn important services to our residents and businesses. But certainly it's much easier to say, oh, let's see, we could probably find the revenue this way. But no one's ever really saying, how can we reduce costs, which would reduce the need for more taxes?
Well, your man Trump didn't do that either. You're a Republican president of the United States. He's indebting us to the tune of $1.5 trillion.
And what I would say to you, again, I think the approach in New York State has to be different. I don't, you know, Washington has
been.
We're
not allowed to have a deficit, are
we? Correct. We have to have a balanced budget, precisely. In Washington, they haven't for years, way before Donald Trump ever became president.
Yeah.
It's been a problem in Washington and deficit spending for years.
But Republicans have always preached the gospel of no deficits, right?
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
At least openly. And I think, again, you know, the average person in New York, you know, the kitchen table issues are most important. Their property taxes, regardless whether you live in Long Island or the Hudson Valley or Western New York or the North Country, You know, the cost to live here and raise a family here is very, very high when you compare it to the rest of the country. In the top three in every outside statistical measurement, Alan, and that's a problem. And, you know, just recently in Rochester, and of course I'm citing this because there was a recent story in Rochester where there's a local company, new tech startup, small number of employees to start, but with their technology growth, they're anticipating that to grow the company very quickly to 300 to 400 jobs. They are moving that business startup from Rochester, New York to Atlanta, Georgia. And what did they cite for the three reasons? The cost of being here, taxation, the regulatory environment, and insufficient transportation options. That we hear that story all the time, but they don't make the headlines because people are talking more about what checks are being handed out rather than looking, why do we keep handing these large checks out? My taxes aren't going down, but we're spending my money and saying, look what I'm doing, a great job for you spending your money. Or we turn around and send a property tax rebate after we collect the taxes from New York, from New Yorkers. We turn around, give it back with a check and say, you're supposed to be happy with us. How about not taking the money in the first place? That's a change of attitude that would be under my watch in terms of if and when I'm governor.
Compared to me, you're a youngster, and I was here when Mario Cuomo got defeated by somebody who nobody knew, and that was Senator George Pataki at the time. Of course, it was a major Republican year that it happened. But how did that happen? Have you ever looked at that one?
Well, of course. I think one of the things that there's a little bit of weathering if you've been in office for a while. I don't care whether you're governor or in the state legislature or whatever. And I think after a while, people in New York were saying, well, you know, Mario Cuomo's been okay. I've gotten to like him less. Not that he was a bad person. Yeah. It's just that there's a wear and a fatigue is probably a better word. And especially after three terms. And I think Governor Pataki and George Pataki at the time came up with a message that was resonating across the state. And it's not an easy state to win as a Republican. But I think one of the things that George...
He did it three times.
He did it three times. But what he did, he's really focused, I thought, on the issues that mattered to people. So you can't be talking about different issues that the average New Yorker doesn't care about. And that's been my focus since I've been in the legislature, and that would continue going on in 2018.
So New York has always been sort of a progressive leader. Now we have at least three New York State Democratic politicians who seem to be eyeing the presidency. Mm-hmm. We have Kirsten Gillibrand, we have de Blasio, and we have Cuomo. We know that Cuomo and de Blasio have been knocking each other's blocks off, and I suspect because of this potential, you know, for running in 2020 for president of the United States. But how does Cuomo deal with Kirsten Gillibrand, who's made, you know, feminism her basic pitch?
Well, I can't speak to their Democrats.
Well, I'm just asking you as a great political analyst that you are.
I don't think he can. I think, first and foremost, Senator Gillibrand's got a much nicer personality from a standpoint of interacting with her from a retail politics. Andrew Cuomo is not. It's not his bailiwick. He doesn't like to get down and sit down and shake hands and get to know people. I think Senator Gillibrand's different in that sort. And when it comes to their party politics, it's not going to be a whole lot different, but you still have to have an appeal. You have to have drive emotion to people who want to support you, even in a Democrat primary.
But if he tries to beat her up as opposed to de Blasio, then it's reminiscent of some of the sexual stuff that's going on in this country.
It's full of minefields. I can tell you, whether it's presidential, state legislature, local elections, it's a tough minefield when men and women, not collide, but compete for a position. An elected position. And I think, professional women that have got a great message are very, very strongly advantaged with people willing to listen to them because there's more of an emotional, positive emotional connection.
Talk to me a little bit about how things change, and they change fast. So, for example, not to pick on anybody, but it would have been unthinkable years ago for the governor of New York State to be living with a partner, I'm all for it, by the way, I don't care at all, without being married. Do those things play into an election cycle?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think people today, and my attitude a lot, even myself, has changed over the years. You know, live and let live. Just keep the government out of your backyard and your homes, and allow people to have that independence and freedom that why they live in America in the first place. So I think it's really more about a connection about what impact can you have on my life, either personally or professionally, as an elected official. And I think that's what people care about more than anything else when it gets right down to it.
So one of the other things that has changed the landscape is that New York overwhelmingly voted to make sure that gay people got an even shake in this state. I think it's a great thing, but I wonder how much is under the hood, if you know what I mean. In other words, is there still prejudice?
Well, you know, that's hard to measure. How do you measure prejudice?
Well, you're a superb politician, Brian Kolb, and, you know, you have a sense of these things.
Well, the only thing I would tell you is that I think there's a general feeling that there's prejudices wherever you go.
Sure.
Whether it's your sexual orientation, whether it's your political beliefs, it's out there. Whether it's, the color of your skin, I think we deal with this in society on a regular basis. I think for the most part, I think all of us, no matter which side we are in any issue, if we would just stop demonizing someone that thinks differently than we do, just accept it, whether they're coming at it from a different reason or one reason or another, whether it was their upbringing, whether it was their religious beliefs. So if you voted for same-sex marriage, great. If you voted against it, great. Just shake hands, say, hey, we just disagree on this issue. But that doesn't make you or I a terrible person because we disagreed on the issue. And that's what's gone wrong with politics.
Yeah, we're getting a lot more polarization, right?
Yeah, you can't have a conversation without people getting mad or angry. And mad and angry is not a good emotion unless you're on the field of battle. And I think that's where you lose respect for each other, is when you can have a conversation about difficult subjects and just say, okay, when we're all done, Alan, shake your hand. Thanks. Hey, we'll just agree to disagree, but that does not lessen my respect for you as a human being.
And do you think there's any hope of that happening in these very tough times?
Well, I think so. We're doing it in the state assembly. Is it perfect? But compared to when I first got there, when the assembly majority leader wouldn't even shake my hand because I was a Republican.
Really?
Versus now, when I believe we have mutual respect in our chamber. Not everybody conducts himself as well as they should, but on the debate floor, we've really tried to focus on the tone and tenor and stick to the facts and issues without trying to demonize each other because we think differently.
I have one last question. I can only give you a couple of seconds on it. Your potential opponent, Andrew Cuomo, as I said before, has about $27 million in the bank. We think probably more. It goes out to Hollywood. People, you know, do their thing. He doesn't get a lot from the little guys, but he does get a lot from the well-heeled. How are you gonna compete against that? You're gonna not be able to turn the television on without seeing his face there every time.
What you have to do is take your message directly to the people with a grassroots campaign, a very, what I'll call, non-traditional campaign, which we're planning on running. And I'm not going to have as much money. I don't think anybody is going to have as much money as Andrew Cuomo does. But I also, for the last years I've been in the state assembly, we've been outspent 3, 4, 5, 6 to 1, and we've won races. It's just a matter of the right candidate with the right message at the right time.
We are out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb. He's a guy who has a lot of trouble even eating a cookie because he is so upright. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.